All right.
Hold on.
Do we have the garbage can? Maybe we have a fire? All right, then we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Chaf Vav. We are going to start on the bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Beis. So we left off two, four, six, seven lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara quotes the case in the Mishnah, Ra'u Ashlosha Vehein Beis Din, Ya'am Dushnayim V'yoshivu Mechavareim Eitzel HaYachin. So what happens? So three people saw, and let's say again, the three people are the Beis Din. So Ya'am Vishnayim, two of the members of the Beis Din, should go ahead and get up. They become the witnesses, and they should go ahead, V'yoshivu Mechavareim Eitzel HaYachin, and they should go ahead and what? And they should go ahead and find other people to essentially add on to the Beis Din, to the one remaining member of the Beis Din. So the Gemara says, Amai, why is this? Hachanami Neima Lo Teishmi Yagidol Meri'ya. I will say, this is a case again where the entire Beis Din is seeing it. So if the entire Beis Din is seeing it, why is it necessary for two of them to break away as witnesses and then to have to contribute other people, or not contribute, but to find other people to complete the Beis Din? So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. So the Chitema Hachanami, if you go on Shur'u Abalayla, if you're going to tell me that this is also a case of where they saw it at night, and therefore, again, that seeing at night does not constitute the seeing of a basin, because basin doesn't sit in session at night, then hainu hach, and the truth is that's the same as the previous case. So the Gemara says, no, seifa tzrichale, de'ein heyochid ne'emar ayyede atzmo. No, what does this case teach us? Rabbi said, this case teaches us that an individual is not believed by himself. Meaning, Rabbi said that for Kiddush HaKodesh, you require the testimony of two witnesses, and one individual is not believed. The Sakatai Tchamina, I might have thought, Hoel Utinan, Hoel, Dine Mamanas Beshlosha, Pim Hayamum Chelarabim, Don Afi Lubiachid. Both say, under normal circumstances, monetary law is adjudicated by a Beis Din of three. Unless, of course, you have someone who's a mumcha. If someone is a mumcha, someone is an expert, they have the halachic right to adjudicate cases by themselves. They have the ability to be a Beis Din of one. Hachanami Nikat Shevi Yachid, Bihidi. I might have thought maybe same thing by Kiddush HaKodesh, that as long as there is one expert, that is enough to constitute the Beis Din. Kamash Molod, no. Kamash on that we do not hold that way, and by Kiddush HaKodesh you require a Beis Din of three. So Gemara says, Ve'im Hachinami, but why not? Maybe that is a correct assertion. Why don't we say that by Kiddush HaKodesh, if you have a Mumcha, that should be enough? To which the Gemara says, because the truth is, there was no greater expert for Klai Yisrael than Moshe Rabbeinu, and yet what? And yet, God said to Moshe that you may not do anything with Kiddush HaKodesh until when? Until Aaron is with you. So we'll say, now obviously, interestingly enough, all that teaches me is what? Is that you need two. Now, once you tell me that you need two and it can't be one, two automatically bless you. Two automatically means three. Why? Because you're never going to have a Beis Din of even number judges. That's counterintuitive. So once you go ahead and you know you can't use one, and by definition, again, we have at least two, that by definition tells me that the smallest unit for a Beis Din for Kiddush HaKodesh purposes is going to be three. To which the Gemara says, Lamemra, that this entire discussion is based on the Eid Na'asadayim, that a witness has the ability to go ahead and become a judge. Now, we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says that lememra de'ed na'asadayim, mi sharo'i liyos eid bedavar na'asadayim, that someone who has the ability to be a witness also has the ability to be a judge in the same case. Ve'elu kulan ru'uyum liyos eidim shari kulan ra'ur. I'll also remember, what's this case? This is a case of where the Sanhedrin saw, or the Beis Din saw the new moon. So what did the Mishnah, what was the advice of the Mishnah? That two of the group should go ahead and break off and become witnesses. And then, in this case, there's only one more remaining. He's a Dayan, and you add two more Dayanim into this. To which the Gemara says, you're telling me now that this means that a person who's an aid could then become a Dayan. Because remember, again, that third guy also saw the new moon, and now he's going from the status of an aid to be a Dayan. Uh-huh. The Gemara says, Leimah Masih Zin Lok Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah must not reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva. This Sanya, Sanhedrin Shara'u Echad Shehargua Sanefesh, almost a tap of Chavav. So if a Sanhedrin, let's say you have this, a Sanhedrin, this is talking about the smaller Sanhedrin of 23 judges, they saw Reuven kill Shimon. They saw it. What is the halacha? Miktsasan Na'asu Eidin. ومكتصن نعسو ديانم. So some of them are treated as Aden. Some of them are treated as Dayanim. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon. These words Rabbi Tarfon. So according to Rabbi Tarfon, the group is split up. The group is split up. And some of them ultimately, again, are considered to be witnesses. And some of them are considered to be judges. These are the words of Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva says, no, kulon na'asin Aden. Rabbi Kiva says, not true. They're all witnesses. Ve'ein Aid na'asin Dayan. Because Rabbi Akiva says, a witness may not become a judge. A witness may not become a judge. So the Gemara says, so what do you see from here? You see from here that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva. Because in our case, witnesses are becoming judges. Because remember, they're all witnesses. They all saw the new moon. And then we're splitting up the group, some into witnesses, some into the judge, some into judges. So you see, according to the Mishnah, Aid na'asa dayan, a witness can become a judge. And this is not like Rabbi Akiva. To which the Gemara says, no. Afilu tema Rabbi Akiva. It's not true. Our Mishnah could reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva as well. As Rabbi Akiva as well. Why? Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Akiva hasam ella b'dinei nefashos. Rabbi Akiva only paskin that way. In what case? In a case of dinei nefashos. In a capital case. Right? A case where there's a death sentence. Why? Derachmana amar v'shaftu ha'ida v'hitzilu ha'ida. Because it will say, what does the pasuk say by capital cases? You shall judge the congregation, and you shall try to, and you shall save the congregation. It will say, if you look at Rashi, he says, "V'itzilu ha'ida, yishapchu b'zechusam." It will say, what's the job of judges, especially in a Jewish court? The job of the judge is to try to find some merit for the defendant. It is their job to be able to go ahead and try to see. Maybe there's some zuchus, not zuchus like in a spiritual sense, but zuchus, some type of merit in a legal sense, to be able to render a favorable verdict. However, v'chiba dechazyu dekatal nafsha, but in this case, I will say, when the Sanhedrin themselves saw Reuven kill Shimon, therefore what? Lo matzu chazi lezuchusa. There is no way they're going to be able to find any kind of merit for him. So I will say, that the Gemara is suggesting that's the case in which Rabbi Akiva would say, Ain eight na'asa dayan, because the job of a dayan again is to try to find some zechus for the defendant, where they actually saw the defendant, Reuven, kill Shimon. There's no way they're going to be able to find the zechus, and therefore they can't be dayanim. Aval hacha, but over here in the case of Kiddush HaKodesh, Rabosai, again, there's no zechus or not zechus. It's just a simple clarification of a matter of law. Afid Rabbi Akiva Modi. Even Rabbi Akiva would agree that what? That eight na'asa dayan. That a witness has the ability to go ahead and become a judge. Okay, says the Mishnah. Kol HaShofra. So we'll say now we are finished. With the topic of the new moon. We're finished with the topic of Kiddush HaKodesh. It's interesting, even though the real, I don't know why this is, but it looks like this parak really should have begun with this Mishnah, because this Mishnah now gets into the topic of Shofra, which is pretty much the discussion of the rest of the Masechta. I don't know, and who knows why, but this previous Mishnah really goes along with the previous parak, but okay. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaShofros K'sherim Chutz Mishal Para. It will say, all Shofros are kosher for blowing, are kosher for Rosh Hashanah. But we'll see, the truth is, I say for Rosh Hashanah, but we're going to see, you blow the Shofar other times other than Rosh Hashanah as well. So Kol HaShofros K'sherim Chutz Mishal Para, with the exception of a par. I will say, normally we translate a par as a cow. In this context, it really means like a bull. So chus mishal para, mipnei shehu keren. Why? Because lemaisa, it's because the horn of a bull is not called a shofar, but rather it's called the keren. It's called the keren. Now again, keren means what? Keren means a horn. But the idea is it's not biblically titled, it's not biblically labeled as a shofar. Amar Rabbi Yossi, v'halo kol shofros nikru keren. Rabbi Yossi says, but one second. All shofros are referred to as keren in the Torah. Shneemar bimshoch bekeren hayovel, because the Mosai, the pasuk says bimshoch bekeren hayovel, and it will be when you will blow bekeren hayovel. So we'll see keren hayovel means the horn, and if you look at Rashi, Rashi says bekeren hayovel v'yovel dichruhu kidemefarish b'gemara. We're going to see that the yovel is a male ram, as we'll see in the Gemara a little bit later on. So the Gemara says the following. Shapir kam Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan. Excuse me. Shapir kam Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, "Good man, Rabbi Yossi." So comes along the Mishnah, and the Rabbanan in the Mishnah say that you can't use the horn of a par. You can't use the horn of a parrot for a shofar. Why? Because it's not called a shofar, it's called a keren. And Rabbi Yossi says, well, one second, all shofros are called the keren. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi says, good. So Rabbanan, what do you have to say to that? Rabbanan, kol ha-shofros ikru shofar ve-ikru keren. So Rabbanan says, the truth is, all other shofros are called both. They're called the shofar and they're called the keren. Dipara, however, again, when it comes to the cow, dipara, keren ikri, shofar lo ikri. I will say when it comes to the horn of the par, so again, to the ox, so that is only called the keren, and it is never called the shofar. Vichsiv, bechor sharo hadar lo, vikarne re'im karnav. So we'll say again, this of course is in Parashas Vayechi, by the brachos of Yaakov to his son, specifically again, to Yosef. And again, refers to Yosef as Bechor Shoro, and used Lashon of Karnei Re'im. So again, you see the Lashon of Keren used in the context of the Shor. Rabbi Yossi Amar Lecha, Deparanami Ikri Shofar. Rabbi Yossi says, it's not true. I could show you a pasuk also that refers to the horn of the ox, also as a shofar. Why, what does the pasuk say? Because the pasuk here from Tehillim, V'sitav L'Hashem, Mishor Par. It is preferable to Hashem than from a shor, from an ox, and from a par, from a bull. Now I will say, what is this talking about? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, David HaMelech is talking about Rabbi Yosef Hashem, Tfilasi, Mishofar, Ubishor, Kamishtaikra. I will say, so David HaMelech says that my prayers to God are more pleasing to God than any karban I could possibly offer. So, Vasetiv Hashem, Mishor, Par. Imshor, Lama, Par. Vimpar, Lama, Shor. Why does David have to state both of these? Right? Again, why does he have to state shor and par? So the Gemara says, Ella, my shor par. Rather, what does shor par mean? Mishofar. The Gemara dashes, shor par means mishofar. So the seitiv la Hashem mishofar means, again, my tfilos are even more important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the shofar. But I will say, what do you see from here? So in this context, what do you see? You see the word shofar in the same context as what? As par. As par. So the Gemara says, V'rabanan kidrav masno. And the Rabbana understand like Rav Masna, because Rav Masna says, the Amr Rav Masna, my shor par, what does it mean, shor par? My shor par, shehu gadol kipar. We're talking about a shor, an axe, that is big as the par, as the bull. Okay? Ula Amr Hainu Taimu the Rabbana, Kid Rav Chista, Ula says no. The Rabbi's logic is like Rav Chista. Remember, the Rabbana are saying that you may not go ahead and use the Karen. You may not go ahead and use the horn of a par, because it's called the keren. So Rav Chista says, here's the reason. Like Rav Chista, because what did Rav Chista say? Dem Rav Chista, Mipnei ma in Kohen Gadol nichnas bebig day zav lefnai b'lefnim. Rabbi says, on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he wears big day lavan. He wears basic, simple, white clothing. Why does he not go in with his golden Kohanic vestments? La'avod avoda. Why? Lefi she'in kategor na'ases hanigar. I will say literally translated, because the prosecutor cannot become the defendant. Look at Rashi. In kategor, zahava egel, b'shofar shalpara, nami kategor de egel. So I will say, listen to this. Because remember, the gold is the prosecutor. Why is the gold the prosecutor? Because the gold is what we use to go ahead and build the golden calf, the chete egel, and the egel azov. And therefore, again, it's not appropriate, and that therefore that's the ultimate prosecution against Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's not appropriate for the Kohen to wear gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim when he's trying to act as the advocate for the Jewish people. So, in kategor na'aseh sanegor, defendant cannot become the prosecutor. So, the Gemara says, so both sides, again, now, just if we were to stop here, Rashi already throws this in. Therefore, it would be the same logic as to why you can't use the horn of a par. Because they will say, what does the par remind us of? Of the egel. Therefore, again, in kategor na'aseh sanegor, the prosecutor, the par, the egel, cannot become the defendant of Klal Yisrael through the shofar. So the Gemara says, one second, velo, is that true? Vaha ika dam par. But Rabbi say, interestingly enough, one of the we learned this in Yuma, one of the karbonos that the Kohen does shecht on Yom Kippur is a par. And what does he do with the blood of that par? He brings it into the Kodesh, he sprinkles it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So here the blood of the par is being brought, into which the Gemara says, no. Hoil v'ishtani ishtani. That's the difference, is it's not recognizable anymore. Meaning, when all you see is blood, there's no physical connection to the fact that that's actually from the par. Baha'ika Aron v'kapores ukruv. But Rav said, what about the fact that the Aron, the ark, the lid of the ark, and the kruvim, the angelic, the cherub-like figures on the perched on the lid of the ark, are all made of gold, right? They're all made of gold, and then the kodesh hakodashim. To which the Gemara says, chote bal yakriv kamina. No. What we mean is, when we say in kategor naaseh sanegor, we mean in terms of the process of offering, right? So again, in terms of the process of avoda, it can't be used. V'ha'ika kaf umachto. But again, we'll say, look at Rashi's chote bal yakriv ha'adam lo yakrivenu halom shu chatabo. Okay, so a person can't go ahead and utilize the gold in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because ultimately that's what he served with. But again, the ark, the aron, and the kruvim, and the kapores, those are not actively used as for man, by man. Those are not actively used by man in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are fixtures of the Beis HaMikdash. Ay v'ha'ika kaf umachto. What about the ladle and the fire pan? Rabbi said, this is talking about the ketores. Remember, the ketores was brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the kaf, so the ladle itself held the incense, and the mat of the fire pan held the coals. Those were made of gold, to which the Gemara says, bal yisno'e kamion. We're talking about something that serves as an adornment for the Kohen. So again, like his clothing, which serves as an adornment, but does not come to limit the use of the ladle of the fire pan. But what about the fact that the Kohen wears the golden clothing outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Meaning, if we say in kategor na'aseh sanegor, that the prosecutor can't become the defendant, and therefore lemaisa, you can't use gold or you can't wear gold into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why is it only the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why is that not also true when? Why isn't that also true even outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? To which the Gemara says, mibifnim kamiran, because the concept of in kategor na'aseh sanegor only applies within the Beis Hamikdash, within the Kodesh HaKadoshim, within those that close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't go ahead and bring something that was used to create a divide between us and God, and now use it to create a connection. Shofar nami mi bachutz. But shofar also was sounded mi bachutz, meaning avosai, if that's the case, that mi bachutz outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not a problem, so why can't I blow the shofar of a par? Even though the par reminds us of Cheta Egel, apparently again these symbolisms are only important inside the Kodesh HaKadosh, not outside. We blow the shofar outside of the Kodesh HaKadosh, and therefore I should be able to use the par, the horn of the par. So therefore, I think most of the Gemara is a beautiful answer. Kevan delizikaronum, since the shofar is there for remembrance purposes. You know, we'll say, what does that mean? That the shofar is there to allow us to be remembered for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, we saw this earlier, that the shofar is there to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Akedas Yitzchak. The shofar brings us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore reminds God of us, so to speak. Therefore, kibif nim dami. Therefore, it has the impact, or it is as if it is actually occurring within the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ay, v'hatana mipnei shu karen. But we learned the response of the Rabbanon is the reason you can't use it was because it's called the karen. It's called the horn and shofar. Chada va'od kamar. The Rabbanon literally also are saying this and another reason. What does that mean? Chada de inkategor na'aseh sanegor. The truth is, reason number one, that you can't go ahead and use the horn of the cow, or of the bull, I should say, is why? Because a prosecutor cannot become a defendant. That's associated with the Cheta Egel, and therefore, again, may not be used in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, Va'od, furthermore, Bibnei Shu Karen. Furthermore, because it's not even called the shofar at all, it's only called the Karen. Rabbi Yossi would say, Dika Amrit En Kategor Na'aseh Sanegor. And Rabbi Yossi would say, because remember, Rabbi Yossi doesn't disagree in principle with the concept of in kategor na'aseh sanegor, that the prosecutor cannot become the defendant. However, he says that doesn't apply in this case of shofar. Why? Hani mili mibifnim, that only applies to things that occur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'hai shofar mibachutzu. But shofar, Rabbi Yossi, occurs when? Outside, or occurs where? Outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, therefore no in kategor na'aseh sanegor. Ay, utika amrit, mibnei shu karen. Ay, and the fact that you said that the horn of the axe is called the keren, not a shofar. Kol ha-shofros nami ikru keren. Rabbi Yossi says it's not a problem because all shofros in the Torah are called a keren. Fine. Abaye amar, hainu tamayu d'rabbanon. Abaye said, here is the logic of the rabbis. Shofar amrachmona, v'lo shnayim u'shlosha shofros. Torah says he's supposed to blow a shofar singular and not two or three shofros. The hadipara, but this horn of the axe, Kevan de koi gildi, mischazi kishnaim ushlosha shofar. So we'll say, now what does that mean? Apparently, the way the horn of an axe grows is each year it grows more, and each year's level of growth is independently recognizable, to the point that when you look at the shofar of an ox, it looks like what? Like you're looking at multiple shofros, meaning the multiple layers grow on top of each other. So it looks like you're looking at multiple shofros. Now, Abai is suggesting that's the reason why the rabbis don't allow you to use the shofar of the par, because the Torah said shofar, singular, but that the shofar of the par, the horn of the par, looks like multiple shofros. So it says, I have a hot time in the issue, Karen. We learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said the reason you can't use the horn of the ox is because it's called the Karen, not a shofar. So chad deva ot kamar. He's giving one answer plus another answer. So the Gemara says, Chad the shofar, machmon of losh naim, which losh shofros. So remember, the Rabbanon say, first of all, you can't use the shofar of the par. Why? Because it's obviously you have to sound a shofar singular and not two or three. And again, the shofar of the ox is like two or three shofros in one. V'ob mipnei shu karen. Furthermore, what? It's called the karen and it's not called the shofar. Rabbi Yossi, I'm the Rabbi Yossi, will say to you, and Rabbi Yossi will say, the fact that you told me I can't use the shofar of a par, because Torah only told me I can use one shofar and not two or three shofros, since they are all attached to each other, meaning we'll say, even though it looks like multiple shofros, it's one entity, therefore it's considered to be like one shofar. And that's what you said, that you can't use it because it's a karen. It's not a problem either. Kala shofros nami karen ikru. All shofros are called the karen. My mashma, the hayuvla lishna. So we'll say again. So this is the fundamental machlokas that again we saw already in the Mishnah that Alokhlamai said that Rabbanon say all shofros are kosher with one exception, par. Rabbi Yossi says again, even the par is kosher. Why? Excuse me. And the Rabbanon say why? Because again, the shofar of the par is called the karen. Rabbi Yossi says all shofros are called the karen, and therefore the Maisa, even the par is kosher. We have now a number of different interpretations as to why the Rabbanon disqualify the use of, bless you, the use of the horn of a par. Either A, ein kategor na'aseh sanegor, the prosecutor cannot become the defendant. The horn of the par reminds us of chita ego, therefore cannot be used for tshuva purposes. Number two, the manner of growth of the shor of the par looks like multiple shofros, one inside of the other. And the Zohar says, shofar achos, shofar, singular, and not multiple shofros. And furthermore, again, plus the reason mentioned in the Mishnah, which is it's not even called a shofar at all. Rather, it's called a keren. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, will say, there's no problem of ein kategor na'aseh sanegor. Why? Because that concept only applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shofar is sounded on the outside. Second issue of multiple shofros within one is also not a problem. Why? Because even though it looks like there's multiple layers, at the end of the day, it's all one shofar. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi sanctions the use of the keren par on Rosh Hashanah. My mashna the hayuv lo lishna de dichrohu. Suppose I again remember the Mishnah spoke about the idea. The Mishnah said that when quoting Rabbi Yossi, that all shofros are called keren, because said b'mshoch b'keren hayovel. Suppose again we were assuming that yovel refers to a male animal. So the verse is my mashma the hayuv lo lishna de dichrohu. How do we know that yovel refers to a really it's a ram? How do we know that it refers to the masculine to a ram? Visanya, because we learned Am Rabbi Akiva kishalachti la'aravya hayukorin ledabra yovlo. So also Rabbi Akiva said, when I went to Arabia, here there are tissues over here. When I went to Arabia, hayukorin ledabra yovlo. So when I went to Arabia, they called the dabra a yovlo. So they called the ram a yovlo. So now that we're talking about this, interestingly enough, now the Gemara goes ahead and discusses all these different word choices. So the Gemara says, shalakti legalya hayukorin lenida galmuda. When I went to Galya, they would call Anida a Galmuda. My Galmuda, so what's the word Galmuda mean? So Gimula da Mibaila, someone who is separated from her husband. Va'am Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said, Kishalachti la Afriki, when I went to Africa, Hayukorin la Ma'a Kisita. We'll say these are units of money. They would call a Ma'a a Kisita. La Mai Nafkamina. What does it matter if you call a Ma'a a Kisita or not? The Verushe Mea Kisita da Oraisa. Mea Danki. I will say to tell you that the 100 kesita of biblical money is the equivalent to 100 danki. So I will say the mea kesita that the Gemara is discussing over here has to do with the amount of money that Yaakov Avinu bought a piece of property from Shechem for. Okay, I'm Rebbe. Kishalakti lekrachei ayam. Hayu korin lemechira kira. Rebbe said, when I went overseas, literally karchaya means the islands of the sea, they called mechira, they called the sale akira. L'may nafkamina. So what does this matter? The ferushe asher karisili, because it helps understand the pasuk of asher karisi, that I bought, meaning this, I will say, this is by Yosef explaining to Paro that he had to go bury his father, because Yaakov commanded Yosef to go ahead and bury him in the chelkas hasod, excuse me, in the kever, asher karisi li be'eretz kinan. So what is karisi? So karisi, now Rabbi Kiva meant, meant mechiras, bought or sold. Om Rabbi Shimon Lakish, kishalachti letchum kan nesharia, when I went to the border of the city of kan nesharia, korin, I'm sorry, just read that. Hayu korin lekala ninfi. They used to call a kala a bride, ninfi, Ulatarnagol Sechvi, and they called the rooster Sechvi. La Kala Ninfi, where do they get this idea of calling a Kala a Ninfi? Mikra, Yefenov Misos Kala Aras. I will say it's taken again from the Pasuk in Tehillim. Literally, Yefenov, we normally translate as a beautiful view. Here, the Gemara's Nasdina actually means a beautiful bride. Misos Kala Aras is the joy of the entire world. Ulatarnagol Sechvi, they call the rooster a Sechvi. Amaravi Huda Amaravi Bais Im Amar Yeshua Ben Levi. Mikra, what's the pasuk? Kishas Bituchos Chachma. He went ahead and put inside, Rav Osei, Bituchos means the smooth ones. We'll see what they mean in just a moment. Wisdom. Ominasan La Sechvi Vina. And who has given the Sechvi understanding? Mishas Bituchos Chachma. Who put inside the smooth ones, chachma, iliklaus. Well, so this refers to the kidneys, because the kidneys are actually smooth on the outside. So again, the kidneys are considered to be, it's interesting, you see this very much in Ma'amari Chazal, and this pasuk over here, the kidneys are like the root of wisdom. The root of wisdom is very interesting. Discussion for a different time. Or who has given understanding to the sechvi, zetarnagol. We'll say, and again, this is why we've adopted this verbiage again in our brachos of Asher Nasan Lasech Divina Rabchin Ben Yehovei Laila. We borrow this same verbiage. So again, Sechni meaning rooster. So Levi Ikla Lahu Asra. So Levi is very interesting, Mike says. Well, Levi went to a particular city. Asa Gavra Lakame. A man came over to Levi and he said, Amar Le, he said, Kavan Ploni. Planya, so and so, right? So and so, Kavand me. Kavand me. Lo havayada maika amrale. So Levi did not know what the word kavan meant. So again, you imagine the same guy comes over. So, you know, Reuben comes over to Levi yelling, Shimon kavand me. Okay, Levi has no idea what he's talking about. So asa shal b'midrash. So he went to the base medrash to try to find out, you know, what does kavan mean? What does kavan mean? So what happened? Amrale gazlan. So amrlecha. He was telling you kavan means he was telling you that someone stole from him. He was robbed. Amalacha dechsiv, because the pasuk says, "Hay kava adam elukim." Does man have the ability to rob God? So what I see, the idea is the man was coming to Levi, telling him he was robbed. So the Gemara says the following: Amalei Rava mi Barnish l'Ravashi. So Rava of Barnish says Ravashi, "Ihava hasam, ihava yasam." If I was there, hava aminalei, I would have said to him the following: Hechi kavach, b'mai kavach, va'amai kavach. I would have asked the guy three questions. I would have said, how were you kavand, right? With what were you kavand? And why were you kavand? And he will say, what Rava from Barnish was saying is, I have no idea what kavand means either. But I would have asked him three simple questions, and what? And I would have understood from his answers what exactly occurred. So he wants to say, and then I would have known what this word kavand meant. So why didn't Levi do this? The ihu savar milsa di isura ka'amarle. Levi thought that actually kavand referred to some type of immoral act. And therefore again, he purposely did not ask him to elaborate because he was concerned for the person's zecher. So he figured, I'm not going to ask the guy to go into detail about it. Something sexually immoral happened to this individual. I'm not going to ask him to explain it to me. Instead, I'll go to the base magician and ask what it means. So that's why he didn't ask. So the Gemara says the following. We'll say now again. Now we're going just a little bit off topic for a little while, just because we brought up this discussion about verbiage. Again, remember, this whole thing started because the Mishnah assumed that Yovel meant a ram. So once we're making certain assumptions about what things mean, the Gemara discusses other words or other things that people didn't know what they meant. So also another couple of interesting maisim. So the Gemara says the following. The rabbis did not know what the word seirigin meant. What does seirigin mean? Shamala amsa. And I will say, now where does this word come up? So if you look at Rashi, my seirigin is the top of the Rashi. Shishanil b'migillah, kara seirigin. The Mishnah talks about if you read it, seirigin. So that's talking about the Megillah. So what happens? So the rabbis didn't know what the word seirigin meant. Shamua la amsa the Rebbe. They once heard the maid servant, the maid of Rebbe, the chazizinhu l'rabbanan dahavi aili paski. So what happens? The rabbis were once coming into the house. Right, Nebo said there are many stories about the maid servant of Rebbe. She was two things. First of all, she was a pious lady, and number two, she was very wise. So what happened? One time, the rabbis were coming into the house of Rebbe, and what happened? Nebo said aili paski. Paski paski means they were coming in a few at a time, meaning instead of all coming at once, they were coming in a few at a time. And she said it, she kind of yelled at them a little bit. Amr lahu, ad masay atem nichnas in seirigin. How long are you going to keep coming in seirigin? So we'll say, what do you see seirigin means? Seirigin means in small groups. That's how the rabbis discovered the meaning of the word seirigin. Lohavi od rabbana, my chalug lugos. The rabbis did not know the meaning of the word chalug lugos. Rashi points out over here, where does chalug logos come up? Shanil parakam de yuma, kol shivas hayomim lo haya ochal hashum ba chalug logos. Well, say this is talking about, remember we had this yuma about the foods that the Kohen Gadol does not go ahead and eat during his 7 days of sequestration. So among those things mentioned were garlic and chalug logos, but the rabbis had no idea what chalug logos was. Yom achad shamu la amsa de Rebbe, one time they heard the maidservant of Rebbe's home. The chazis lahu gavra de ka mevader par pechine, and she saw this guy, and he was scattering par pechine. I would say par pechine is purslane. So they saw you saw him scattering the purslane. Amrale ad masai ata mevader chalug legecha. How long are you going to waste? Right, until when are you going to waste your chalug legecha? They discovered what it meant. Lo havi odi rabbanon my salsala utiram emeka. The rabbis did not know the meaning of the verse. Salsala utram mecca. Obviously, utram mecca means will exalt you. What does salsala mean? Yom achad shamuha la'amsa de Rebbe. One day they heard the maidservant of the home of Rebbe. The havas amrit lahu gavra to havakamahapech besare. They heard that the maidservant of Rebbe was talking to a guy. Mahapech besare, which means he was styling his hair. He was spending a lot of time combing his hair. Amrale, she said to him, Ad masa atam nesalsal besarecha. For how long are you going to be preoccupied with your hair? How long are you going to be combing your hair? So they learned from there the meaning of this word. So here, Gemara is pointing from the pasuk of Yishayo. V'te'asiha b'matate. So they did not know what this meant. Yom achad shamu ala amsei debirav debay Rebbe. One day they heard the maidservant of Rebbe. The havas amrit lechaverta. She said to her fellow maid, shakule tatisa v'tate besa. Take the broom and sweep the house. So they learned from that what that the word tatateha means broom and to sweep. So next, lo yadi lo havi yadi rabbanan my hashleich al Hashem yahavcha. The rabbis did not know the meaning of the verse, cast upon Hashem, Yehovcha. What does that mean, Yehovcha? V'hu yechal kaleka. And God will sustain you. Or they didn't know what the word Yehovcha meant. Amar Rabbah Bar Bar Chana, Yom Achad. Rabbi said, this one doesn't include the maidservant of Rebbe. But Rabbah Bar Bar Chana said, Yom Achad, Hava Azulna Bahadi Hahu Tayo. One day I was traveling with an Arab merchant, Hava Darina Tuna, and I had a large load. The Amr Li and the Arab merchant told me, Shakul Yahavich, take your load, Vishadi Agmaloi, and place it on top of my camel. And from there I learned what? That Yahavcha means what, Rabosai? Burden. Burden, such a beautiful pasuk. Hashlech Yahavcha Hashem, place your burden on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Empty your heart, unload your life burden Anakadosh Baruch Hu, who yichal kolekon, he'll help you with it, he'll sustain you with it. Says the Mishnah, shofar shal Rosh Hashanah shal ya'al poshut. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah is from ya'al poshut. I will say ya'al poshut. I will say again, just so you know, in the previous Mishnah, we pass in like the Rabbanon, and we do not use the shofar of a par on Rosh Hashanah. Any other shofar is kosher for use on Rosh Hashanah, with the exception of the par, and we accept, the truth is, we accept the two major lines of reasoning. Number one, because it's not called the shofar, it's called the keren. And number two, because in kategar na'aset sanegar. So says the Mishnah, shofar shal Rosh Hashanah shi'al poshet. So the truth is, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah should preferably be, Ya'el, we'll say, is a wild goat. Should come from a wild goat, poshet, and should be straight. Should be straight. Upiv mitzupa zav, and its mouthpiece was coated with gold. We'll say, now obviously what they're referring to over here is also the way the shofar was blown in the Beis HaMikdash. Its mouth was coated with gold. Remember, when you blew the shofar, you didn't blow the shofar alone. You also blew the shofar with what? It was accompanied by chatzotzos, by trumpets. But the trumpets were on the side. They would blow everything together. Shofar ma'arich, the chatzotzos, mekatzros. So again, you'd blow everything together, the shofar and the chatzotzos and the trumpets. But the shofros would end early, and the shofar would continue. Why? Shemitzas hayom b'shofar. Because we're also in Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah on the day is not with the chatzotzos, it's not on the trumpets, but again, it's with the shofar. U'beta'anios, and on fast days, b'shal zecharim kifufim. They would use, again, the horns of male animals that were bent, that were curved. U'pian mitzupa kesef. And its mouth was coated with silver. Ushtei chatzosros be'emtza. And there were two trumpets in the middle. Shofar mekatzer. They would blow everything together, but the sound of the shofar would stop earlier. The chatzosros ma'arichos. And again, the chatzosros again would continue. Why is that? The Gemara says, Shemitzah mechatzosros. Because we will say on a fast day, the mitzvah was not to sound the shofar, but rather, again, the mitzvah was to sound. The mitzvah was to sound the chatzotzros. Shaveh hayovel Rosh Hashanah, the yovel year. And this specifically is referring to Yom Kippur of Yovel. Because remember, Yom Kippur of Yovel, they would go ahead and sound the shofar. So again, The shaveh hayovel Rosh Hashanah. So the blowing of the shofar on Yovel, similar to Rosh Hashanah, the tekiah, both for tekiah purposes as well as for brachos. Rashi says over the brachos, the boyle neimer teisha brachos yom kippurim shal yovel. We'll discuss what this means. You have to say the nine brachos of Shmona Esrei on Yom Kippur of Yovel. The Gemara will discuss what that means. Rabbi Yehuda says, but Rosh Hashanah toki b'shal zecharim ubiyovelos b'shal yeilim. Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand says that no, on Rosh Hashanah we go ahead and we use the shofar of a male animal, which Rabbi said would be bent, and on Yovel we use the shofar of the yael of the wild goat, which is straight. Amar Rabbi Levi says the Gemara, mitzvah shal Rosh Hashanah b'shal mekipurim b'kfufin. So also Rabbi Levi comes along and says, no. On Rosh Hashanah, you are supposed to use a bent shofar. A curve. When we say bent, I mean a curved shofar. B'shal kal Hashanah b'pshutin. And for the rest of the year, meaning rest of the year means what Rabbi say, fast days, you'll use a straight shofar. V'ay v'hatnan. But we learned in the Mishnah, shofar shal Rosh Hashanah shal ya'el pashut. But yet we learned in the Mishnah that on Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to use the shofar of a wild goat. That is straight. Hudam Rabbi Levi says, Hudam Rabbi Kiaitana. Rabbi Levi holds like this other opinion. What does the other opinion say? This Sanya. Rabbi Huda says, the Rosh Hashanah hayu token b'shal zecharim kifufin. Rabbi Huda says that on Rosh Hashanah they would blow the shofar of male animals that were bent. Meaning the shofar is bent, not the animal. Ubi Yovlos, and on Yovel, on Yom Kippur of Yovel, b'shal ye'elim, they would go ahead and use the shofar of a wild goat that was straight. So the Gemara says, so why does Rabbi Levi make such a big deal? Why doesn't Rabbi Levi say, v'leima hilchisa k'Rabbi Huda? Why doesn't Levi just say that the halacha follows Rabbi Huda? To which the Gemara says, I amrit hilchisa k'Rabbi Huda, hava amina afilu b'shal yovel. Because if Rabbi Levi would have said the halacha follows Rabbi Huda, I might have thought the halacha follows Rabbi Huda by Rosh Hashanah. Meaning, remember, what did Rabbi Huda say by Rosh Hashanah? You have to use the shofar of a male animal that's bent, and also by Yovel. Meaning by Yovel, meaning what? You have to use the shofar of a Ya'el Pashut, of a wild goat that's straight. Therefore, the Gemara says, Kamash Malo, no. Kamash that Rabbi Levi holds like Rabbi Yehuda by Rosh Hashanah, but does not subscribe to the view of Rabbi Yehuda by what? by Yovel. So Bosai, what's coming out over here now is a brand new Shita. Rabbi Levi really echoing the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, unlike the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that on Rosh Hashanah you should use the shofar of a Ya'el Pashut, a wild goat that's straight. Rabbi Levi now saying the name of Rabbi Yehuda. No, on Rosh Hashanah you have to use a bent shofar. Shal Zacharim from a male animal that's bent. This is really fascinating. What are they arguing about? What's the Nikuda Samach Lokes? So the Gemara says, Mar Savar Barash Hashanah Kama Dekayif Inish Daite Tefei Tefei Mali. Because I will say, again, one opinion holds that on Rosh Hashanah, I will say, what's the goal? The goal is that a person's heart should be as bent as possible. I will say, now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Kama Dekayif Inish Bitfilaso Panav Kivushin La'aretz Tefei Adif Mishum Bahaya Eine Velibe Sham Hilchach Barash Hashanah listen to this. So one opinion holds, which would be really Rabbi Levi and Rabbi Yehuda, then what is Rosh Hashanah all about? Rosh Hashanah is about humbling oneself. So how do you humble oneself? You assume the posture of humility. What is the posture of humility? A bent over posture. Therefore, my shofar, remember, is a chilek of tefillah. Therefore, my shofar is supposed to be the embodiment of this tefillah posture. Therefore, it's supposed to be bent as well. However, again, biyom kippurim, but on Yovel, kama deposhet inish, daiti tefei male. But they both say, on Yovel, what happens on Yovel? People are emancipated, right? People get to stand up straight. So therefore, on Yovel, what should you use? You should use a straight shofar. Umar Savar, and the other opinion, which is the opinion of our Mishnah, holds, Rosh Hashanah kama deposhet inish, daiti tefei male. On Rosh Hashanah, what's the goal? Stand tall. Stand erect, stand straight. Ubitanios, but on fast days, kama dekayif inish daiti tfei male. But I will say, on a fast day, the more one could go out and humble oneself by standing in a bent over posture, that is better. So I will say, really, what they're arguing about is something so fundamental, which is, remember, first of all, what's coming out from shofar is not an independent mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. Shofar is part of the chilek of tefillah. Shofar is another form of prayer. Soloveitchik discusses this extensively. That what happens over the Amim Noraim is we exhaust tefillah to such a degree that we even go into a new uncharted territory of tefillah called shofar. So therefore, the shaila is what. So therefore, shofar really represents an approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fundamental machlokes is how are you supposed to approach God? Should you approach God humbled or should you approach God confident? And that machlokes is actually mirrored over here in what type of shofar you're supposed to use. So our Mishnah says, use a straight shofar because you're supposed to approach God confident, not arrogant, confident that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take care of me, that he's going to inscribe me in the book of life, and things are going to turn out okay. Rabbi Levi says, no, that's not the approach. I don't know what's going to happen. Therefore, how do I approach God? I approach God humbled. And how do we make the major declaration that humility is the proper posture and stance in the Noraim by using the bench shofar? I think most of us stop over here for today. We're not finished with the book. We'll continue with the Sugim Meretz Hashem tomorrow. So schedule for Shavuos is afternoon. We'll be doing, I don't remember the exact time offhand, but it'll be before the Navi Shir. It'll be before the Navi Shir in the afternoon. So not going to be doing an early mincha for that. There'll just be one regular mincha at the Zman. But again, that'll be in the afternoon both days. Going to be able to push it.